Hey everybody, it's Britt, lead pastor at Sunridge. Welcome back to our teaching podcast. You know, we are on a mission here at Sunridge to help people find and follow Jesus. We believe in the good news that Jesus welcomes all, regardless of how far you feel from God. That means we're a great starting point to explore Christianity or to sink your spiritual roots deep as a devoted Jesus follower. If you'd like to know more about us, just check out our website at sunridgechurch.org. And of course, we'd love to have you drop in anytime for a visit to learn and worship along with us. And now, here's our teaching for this week. Good morning, Sunridge.
Good morning.
How are you guys?
Good.
Pretty good?
Yeah.
You're good. Good. Oh, good. All right. Hey, if you're new here today, my name's Britt. I serve here as a lead pastor. And as we finish today, you can decide whether that's a good thing or not. We're wrapping up a study that we've called Big Words. And Big Words is a teaching series about words that are not part of our everyday conversation, but our everyday faith relies on them. They aren't just concepts that, really smart theologians sit around and scratch their head and stroke their beards over. These are really important concepts to the Christian faith. And what we've tried to do is break them down into simple terms so that everyone can understand them, because they are so crucial to Christian faith. They are also the main theological concepts that the next book we're going to study, Romans, is rooted in. And so I'm really excited. Next Sunday, Jed is going to give us the whole background to that book and why Paul wrote it. And I'm just telling you, you do not want to miss that message, because it's going to set the whole foundation for why Paul wrote that letter. And I think you're going to learn some things in that. So far, in big words, what we've covered is hamartiology. That was a winner, right? Right away, the study of sin. We looked at Christology, which is the study of who Jesus Christ is. Soteriology, the study of salvation. Justification, how Christianity is based entirely on we're made right before God through simple belief in Jesus. Sanctification, God doesn't leave us that way. Sanctification is all about how God grows us. And last week we talked about ecclesiology, the study of the church, the community of faith that God has designed for us to grow and grow in love and grow in faith in. So before we get to our last word today, I want you to watch this clip on the screen. It's from a movie.
Ethan, 3 days ago, Agent Lindsay Ferris was captured while on a surveillance operation. This is the man she was tracking. His name is Owen Davian. Details are eyes only, but I can't tell you that Davian's a black market trafficker. Extremely dangerous and a priority for us. At 1400 hours today, a recon satellite ID'd a caravan of vehicles with plates matching those known to have been used by Davian's operatives. They stopped at a derelict factory outside Berlin. It appears they have a hostage. We believe it's Agent Ferris. Normally we would disavow, but Lindsay may be the key to getting us closer to Davian, and that's a risk we need to take. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to find Lindsay and bring her home. I've already assembled a team. I have them standing by awaiting your word. This message, let's call it my excellent engagement gift to you, will self-destruct in 5 seconds. Good luck, Ethan, and thanks again.
All right, so can we all agree that Tom Cruise is still looking good and he's cool? That's an older one. You might recognize that scene from one of the, now 8 Mission Impossible movies. There's actually one out right now, I think. I think the last one, the final. They say it is. I don't know. But for those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, maybe you've been sequestered in a monastery for the last 60 years. Mission Impossible actually began as a TV show in the 60s and the 70s, and then it was resurrected into this blockbuster, series of films with Tom Cruise. And in each episode of this spy series, it includes this pending global disaster that Ethan Hunt only and must avert. And each story begins with this assignment that came through a secret communication with the unforgettable summons, right? Your mission, should you choose to accept it. And then, of course, you know, this message will self-destruct in 5 seconds. So what I want to say to you today, to start off, is God has a mission for us. And we have the opportunity to participate in his mission in the world today. He invites each one of us who name the name of Jesus to accept that mission. And it's right in the Bible, only it won't self-destruct in 5 seconds. Today, we're going to turn our attention to a foundational but overlooked theological discipline called missiology. And missiology is the study of the mission of the church. And like all the other ology words we looked at, it's a combination of two words, right? Here, mission and the study of, so missionology. So what does the study of missionology tell us about the mission of God in the world? First of all, missiology is more than a theological term. It is the very heartbeat of God. From the first pages of Scripture to the last, Genesis to Revelation, there's a divine thread that ties the entire Bible together, the redemption of mankind. I'll show you. In Genesis, God calls Abraham. Genesis 12:1, the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you, and I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse." Why? "And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So God's covenant with Abraham sets the foundation for a global mission to bless all nations. And that is the common thread of the Bible from its beginning to its climax, as John describes in his revelation. Revelation 7:9, "I looked," this is in a vision in heaven, "and there before me was a great multitude no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb." So from the beginning to the end of the Bible, God reveals his heart. Next, missiology isn't just a side story in the Bible, it is the story. Do you ever wonder why God doesn't just take us up to heaven the moment we believe? I mean, that would be awesome, right? You believed, you know, you get out of the world, it's easy. I mean, why does he leave us here? What's the point of leaving us in a broken world? Why are we still here? And the answer is found in our mission. And even though that word missiology isn't used explicitly in your Bible, the concept is deeply embedded in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Here are a few key passages that speak of God's mission for his people. First, from the Old Testament, Psalm 96:3, "Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among the people." God says to Isaiah in 49:6, "I will make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation shall reach to the ends of the earth." The psalmist writes in 67:1, "May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine us." Why? Why do we want God to do that? "So that your ways, God, may be known on earth and your salvation among all the nations." Then in the New Testament, the apostle Paul gave his life literally to share the gospel. And he encouraged the church in Rome in Romans 15:6, "With one mind and one voice, you may glorify the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And then to the church in Thessalonica, he praised them for, in 1 Thessalonians 1:8, "The Lord's message rang out from you." So the Bible is a big book, and it's about a lot of things and people, but there's a central plot line. The big ideas in Scripture isn't just that there's one God who created all, even though that's true, and it isn't just that God has a moral and holy standard, though he does. The central plot line in Scripture is that God so loved the world that he sent his Son that all may be saved. That is the focus of the Bible. That is God's mission in the world, and it's the mission that he invites us to engage in with all of our being. And then nowhere is that more clear than in the life and the teachings of Jesus. And Jesus was explicit about his mission in the world. When Jesus announced his purpose, when he began his public ministry, he stood up in his synagogue and he read from Isaiah. Luke 4:18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Also, later in Luke 19:10, the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. And in John 12:46, he said, I've come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. And then the Apostle Paul reinforced that fact as he wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:15. He said, here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Jesus Christ came in the world to save sinners. So Jesus didn't just come to make us nicer human beings or to make us more inclusive or to provide some nice religious holidays or to show his preference for any political party. He came into the world with a mission. To save sinners, to share the good news, and to be the good news, to give his life on the cross so that we might live. That was his mission. And it is still his mission. And here's the thing. He invites us to join God in that mission. And this is the next point in your notes. Missiology reveals our role in God's redemptive plan. Jesus commissioned disciples, also known as the Great Commission, right? It's the cornerstone of Christian missiology. In Matthew 28:19, Jesus said to his disciples, go and make disciples of all nations. Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And then before he ascended, he told his disciples in Acts 1:8, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. In other words, to his people, to his followers, he's saying, your mission, our mission, should we choose to accept, is to join him in living out and sharing the gospel with, as he said in John 20:21, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Missiology then is the capstone of all the theological big words that we've learned so far in the last few weeks. Why did Jesus Christ come into the world to be with broken sinners? Hamartiology, Christology. Why does God have a soteriological plan through which sinners are saved? Why did God make a way for sinners to be justified even though they're guilty? And why does God's plan not end with our justification and being made right for him, and continues on that we would be sanctified to become more like Jesus? And then why did God establish a community of faith, an ecclesia for believers to grow in love in? Certainly that's for our benefit, right? That we might be saved and grow and find joy and purpose in a community of believers. But his plan doesn't end there. God's plan includes more than our salvation. It includes us joining him in his mission. So we aren't just saved. We're saved to be sent. We are the hands and feet of Jesus. We are his representatives in the world. As those saved by grace, growing up in our salvation, experience the joy of being with God's family, we are also part of how others experience that or experience the same. And missiology reveals to us that our salvation isn't just something to be enjoyed. It's something to be shared. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus told his followers, Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. And here's the problem with that. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. And in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, some of you, like, how do you feel about being given the mission of shining that light? Maybe some of you are realizing that for the very first time. You're like, whoa, I didn't know that was God's intended purpose for me. Some of you might feel a heavy responsibility in that, and it makes you feel uncomfortable. Or maybe you're apprehensive about that thought because it could cramp your style. Or maybe you're just not sure what that means because you've seen people be really pushy about their Christianity and you don't want to be like that. I think there must have been some reluctancy in the believers in the first century because Paul reasoned with them in Romans 10, 14. He said to them, "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent?" In other words, Paul is saying, we are called to do something. So here's where I want to make a turn, our typical turn, in what this means to us. Here at Sunridge, this part is super important to us. We want to learn the Bible together. We want to understand the truths of Scripture. All that's super important. But we also want to think about what this means for us, how it can apply to our lives. One of our former members used to call this the so what factor. So what does it mean to be sent with a mission by God? Does it mean I'm supposed to stand on a corner with a bullhorn? Am I supposed to be that person at work who's always saying, "Praise the Lord"? Does it mean I'm supposed to go around and tell everybody what's wrong with them? Or does it mean I'm supposed to wear a lot of political swag and claiming and announce that God is on my side and everybody else is demonic? What do those of us who genuinely want to accept the mission God has for us to do? What does it mean to be sent? Where are we being sent to? And how do we go? So what does it mean to be part of the eschatological fulfillment of God's global mission? I thought I'd throw that in there to sound really smart. So like, I know you guys are like, whoa, he used a big word. That was more than three letters. So we're going to wrap up today by just talking about how to apply the missiology of the Bible. So number one, allow God to shape your heart for redemption. That's where it starts. Allow God to shape your heart for redemption. What is God's orientation toward the world? Is he mad at the world? Does he want to bring his wrath upon us? Does he want people to just like get on the program and conform to his rules? Or does he want to make American patriots who espouse a capitalistic society? What did John say God's orientation toward the world was? John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son." God loves the world. He loves you and he loves the world. He loves every person on the planet. How did God reach you? Was it his wrath? Did he scare the hell out of you? Literally. I can say that because I'm talking from the Bible right now. I meant that biblically. Did he reach you through someone who constantly condemned you for the choices you were making? I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that God reached you with his love. You might have known that you couldn't keep living the way you were, making the destructive choices that you were making. But I'm going to guess that it was God's love, his desire to redeem your relationship with him that you learned about that finally broke through. You know, Paul reasoned with believers that had lost sight of that in the Roman churches. Romans 2:4, he said to them, and we're going to get to this. It's going to be really good when we study Romans. "Don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin?" So we know how important heart is, right? Jesus talked about that. Matthew 15:18, "The things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart." We work so hard at conforming our external behaviors, but we really should be focusing on our hearts. As parents, we teach our children how to behave. But don't we really want to shape their hearts mostly? The same is true of adults, you guys. And this is why our spiritual formation, who we're becoming, how we're being sanctified, is so important, because we're all being shaped constantly by something. And our hearts need the shaping by God. And the question is, who is shaping us? And that's why Proverbs warns, Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. That's why Paul said in Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Who we're becoming, our discipleship, is so important. We need renewed minds, renewed hearts, and a mind renewed by God will, according to Paul, bring about a desire to accomplish God's perfect and pleasing will. And we've just seen clearly in Scripture, his will, indeed his plan throughout the ages, his heart, his desire, is to redeem mankind. Now, I assume when you think of how God's love reached you, your heart is truly grateful when you stop and contemplate that. We're going to serve communion today, and we'll have an opportunity to think about that. But be honest, do you also have a heart to see others redeemed as well? If not, maybe you had it before, and it's kind of like gotten pushed to the side. We really need to think about who and what is forming our spirituality. What input we're receiving. Now, if you're here today and you say, yes, I have a heart redemption, but I don't know what to do, I can help you. Point two, live with a missional mindset. Live with a missional mindset. You know, most Christians think missions is something that those called to be missionaries do. Or they think it's a department in a church, the missions department. But that may be. We have a missions department here at Sunridge. It's part of it. But it isn't just a department. It's the essence of the church. And a church that doesn't grasp this will become inwardly focused. And it will become stagnant because of that. And it will be self-interested rather than focused on its mission. And then Christian faith will become this personal improvement program that I'm on. And it becomes just about me and what God is doing in me. And too many churches today fail to see this. And this is why we're seeing churches that are no longer preaching the gospel, that are trying to conquer the culture instead of reaching it. And in the end, it's just a self-centered approach to faith that instead of reaching the culture, we're trying to force our rules on them. And it's just a self-centeredness dressed up in Christian language that just kind of assures our own comfort in the world. In contrast, the missiology of the Bible reveals that every believer has a missional calling, which is very likely to lead us to a place of discomfort. Remember, Jesus said to his disciples, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. We're all sent. How are we sent? In the same way God sent Jesus to the world. And what does that mean? How did Jesus live? Jesus lived in such a way that he reflected who his heavenly Father was. Jesus said in John 14:9, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. In other words, when you look at me, Jesus said, you're looking at God the Father. You can see what God is like in a human being by looking at me, Jesus said. You're seeing who God is. My life has shown it. And when we read the Gospels and study the life of Jesus, we're seeing who God is through the example of a human being. Now, the Gospels contain teaching by Jesus, a lot of it, but mainly they record his life. His acts, Jesus' life reflected who God is. And Jesus said that was his goal, to show that he and the Father are one. So how did Jesus live? Many of you have read the Gospels. What do we see in Jesus' life? We know he loved people. So when you're gracious to people, you are living missionally. We know that he fed the hungry. So parents, when you're making peanut butter and jellies for your kids, do you know you're feeding the hungry? You're living missionally. We know he cared for the poor. So when you give to our Agape Fund or to a charity, or you support a child through Compassion International, you are caring for the poor. He healed the sick. So if you're in healthcare, if you're a paramedic, fireman, nurse, doctor, radiologist, even if you're the person just putting the information in, you know you are contributing to the healing of human beings. You're on mission. That's your mission. Jesus spoke honestly and compassionately. So when you speak the truth to somebody who is misinformed about whatever it may be, you know, you are living missionally when you do that. Jesus opposed injustice. So if you're in law enforcement and you arrest people who are breaking laws that impose on justice, on human rights, then you are doing God's work. You are living missionally. And when you do that, if you're in the military and you go to battle or you just train for it, you are preparing yourself to right injustices in the world. If you're in the legal world and you defend people or you prosecute people, you're basically preventing injustice. You are living out the mission that God has given you. Jesus confronted hypocrisy. And when you confront people who have morals on one side but not on the other, and you confront that, you are living missionally. Jesus defied power when it was corrupt. He confronted those who were deceptive. He offered relationships to outcasts. He defended them and sometimes placed himself between them and their oppressors. Jesus favored children. So when you get down on your hands and knees with a kid, or you read a book to your kids, or you're a teacher and you're showing a kid how to read, you are favoring children. You are living the mission of God. Jesus comforted people. And when you put your arm around somebody, or you just like share in their grief, and you bring encouraging words, you're comforting that person. You are living out the mission that God has given us. He encouraged people, and he served the world. He served people so that people could flourish. So whatever your job is today, whatever you spend most of your day doing, even if you don't get paid to do it, can you see how that is contributing to human flourishing? If you're a plumber and you go in and you fix a clogged drain, don't you see how that's helping people like me flourish? Because we can't get rid of our garbage down the disposal unless you come in and help us. The call of missiology is not reserved for church staff or even missionaries. It's for every believer. So allow God to soften and break your heart. And then live with this missional mindset. And then last, start from where you are. Start from where you are. Living missionally doesn't require you to cross an ocean. That may be. But maybe just God's calling you to cross the street. Or sometimes it's just crossing the room. God has placed all of us in a unique mission field. Each of us then can model Jesus in whatever field God has placed us in. What is your field? Where has God placed you? In your job, in your family, in your neighborhood, in your community organization. Like, where does he have you? That's your mission. That's your mission field. And so be intentional in what you do to live out the gospel in both word and deed. And additionally, pray for the people in your circle. Pray for the nations. Support missionaries. engage in and support organizations that help the poor or immigrants, confront injustice, defy corruption, engage in helpful conversation with those who see the world differently than you. Choose to be uncomfortable so that you can do that. And don't burn bridges, build them. And live for God's glory. You see, missiology isn't just an academic curiosity. It's a divine calling. It reveals the heart of a God who loves the world so much that he sent his only son. And now he sends us. You know, some people are called to extraordinary places. And in a few moments, I'm going to introduce you to a couple that are been on our supported missionary list for like ever since I can remember, Alex and Amy Galloway. And I had breakfast with Alex yesterday, and you know, he's a really smart person. He has his doctorate in psychology. So when he got out of college, he went to Memphis. I don't want to steal all your thunder here, but like he went to Memphis and like one of the hardest parts in Memphis and worked with people there in mental health. And eventually God called them to where they are today, where they're in Spain, but they are like a beacon in debriefing and helping with all the mental health issues of people who are in like the thick of, like think of the stuff that's happened in the last 10, 20 years in the Middle East. He was part of debriefing missionaries and other people. What's going on in Ukraine right now, maybe he'll tell you some of that. Like they're in the middle of caring for people who like have been so traumatized. That's where God called them. And in a minute, you know, I'm going to have them come up and share with you for a few minutes. And then I've also asked them to lead us in communion. So it's really cool to have one of our missionary couples here to help us with communion. But we're not all called to Spain, right? Or to inner city Memphis. Your mission may be in your neighborhood. Maybe it's, you know, meeting that person that you meet every day when you walk your dog. Maybe it's in a play group with moms and their kids at the park. It might be taking some banana bread to someone you know who is a shut-in. It might be helping drop off kids or pick up kids for single mom or single dad. It might be volunteering to work in a homeless shelter. It might be at your work. Whatever your vocation is, realizing and making the connection to how that contributes to human flourishing today. That's your mission field. That's what starting from where you are means. You don't need a bullhorn, and you don't need to cross an ocean. But first, you will need a heart for redemption. And that, I believe, will cause you to live with a missional mindset. And then when you have that, you can start from right where you are, right where God has you today. That's your mission, should you choose to accept it. I'm going to ask the band to come up, and I'd like to ask Alex and Amy to come up, and then I would like to pray as we're doing that. So will you join me? God, thank you that not only that you have saved us, but you have sent us, and that we get to participate in the incredible mission that you have for this world to live out and share the gospel in really tangible ways in all the places that you've placed us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, you guys. Hey everybody, it's Britt again. Thanks for listening. If you need something, if you have a question, or you'd just like us to pray for you, you can reach us through email, info@sunridgechurch.org. We hope you'll listen in again next week, but in the meantime, keep helping people find and follow Jesus.